Well, Wednesday night I was talking about following up on a lesson, but I decided to change my topic. And in Psalms chapter 50 and verse 21 will lead us into this lesson. And it reads, "When you did these things and I kept silent, you thought I was like yourself. But I now arraign you and set my accusations before you." And it says here that man thought that he was that God was like him. And in verse 22 of Psalms chapter 50, it says, "Consider this, you who forget God, or I will tear you to pieces with no one to rescue you." So that's a pretty serious thing when we start thinking that we are like, our God is like us. And it clouds our thoughts when we think that way. Man hides from man all the time. And we think we can hide from God also. More than likely, when Adam and Eve were in the garden, I just have a feeling that Adam probably hid from Eve a few times. You know, kind of sneak up on her. Well, anyway, in Genesis chapter 8, Adam and Eve thought they could hide from God. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 7, we kind of see how all this took place. The Lord said, "I have indeed seen the..." I'm in Exodus. Verse 7 says, "Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, 'Where are you?' He answered, 'I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid.'" So that's kind of what man does. He thinks he can hide from God, but that's an impossibility. Over in Psalms chapter 139, verses 7 through 13, it says, "Where can I go from the Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hands will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, 'Surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me,' even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." There's no hiding from God. These scriptures we just read shows that. But man, because he can hide from man, thinks he can hide from God. Man also thinks that he can deceive God because he deceives man all the time. Men lie and cheat and swindle one another on a regular basis. And Jack presented to us today from Acts chapter 5, where a man and woman, Ananias and Sapphira, thought they could lie to a man. But they were mistaken. They were not lying to a man. They were lying to the Holy Spirit God. And it wasn't that they was supposed to give that money that they had received for selling that land. As Jack said, they wanted to look different. They wanted to deceive. They wanted to look great. And that they gave everything that they got for the property, when actually they were just given a piece of it. So man cannot deceive God. That was a clear picture there in Acts chapter 5 for all to see. Man is slack with his words, and he thinks God will not follow through with his. In Isaiah 55 verses 9, it says, "And the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And then down in verse 11 it says, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's word, His promises will always be there. And His words are not, He's not slack with His words. Over in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 9 through 10, it says in this, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. God said He's going to do this. And we better believe Him that He will. God is not slack in what He says. You can put it in the bank. You can count on it. God will bring about what He speaks and promises. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 18 says, for truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Now I know that's talking about the Old Testament, but it's also talking about anything that God has ever said. Anything that God has ever had written down, it will not change. It will not one bit change. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. God's Word, He knows all about us because of it. And it judges us. And that's the reason we have it, is so that we may realize what He wants us to do. And 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says, all Scripture is God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And it says in verse 17, so the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Yeah, when God gives us something and He promises something, He wants us to follow through. And as Jack was teaching us this morning, God's Word, we are to use it. Display our talents by following what He has to say. Man can be bribed. As we probably look at our politicians, we know that that's true. Man can be bribed, and he thinks that God can be bribed. Have you ever tried to do that? I just wonder. You know, like putting more money in the offering plate in exchange for something special from God. Have you ever mumbled those words or thought those things? Or promising better attendance for improved conditions for yourself? Over in Deuteronomy chapter 10, in verse 17, it says, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, the great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. If man is thinking that, he needs to think again. God cannot be bribed. In Proverbs chapter 17, in verse 23, it says, the wicked accept bribes in secret to pervert the course of justice. Think about that. They cover up things, pervert justice. But God cannot be bribed. Man thinks sin is no terrible thing and thinks God feels the same. And they'll say, and you've probably heard it said, you know, God loves us. God is so merciful. And the Bible says that. God loves us all. But in Isaiah Isaiah 59. Verses 2 through 4. It says, but your iniquities have separated you from God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. For your hands are stained with blood, your fingers with guilt. Your lips have spoken falsely, and your tongue mutters wicked things. No one calls for justice. No one pleads a case with integrity. They rely on empty arguments. They utter lies, they conceive trouble, and give birth to evil. Also in verses 8 through 13, the way of peace they do not know, there is no justice in their paths. They have turned them into crooked roads. No one who walks along them will know peace. So justice is far from us, and righteousness does not reach us. We look for light, but all is darkness. For brightness, but we walk in deep shadows. Like the blind, we grope about along the wall, feeling our way like people without eyes. At midday, we stumble as if it were twilight. Among the strong, we are like the dead. We all growl like bears. We moan mournfully like doves. We look for justice, but find none. For deliverance, but it is far away. For our offenses are many in your sight, and our sins testify against us. For our offenses are ever with us, and we acknowledge our iniquities, rebellion and treachery against the Lord, turning our backs on our God, inciting riot and oppression, uttering lies our hearts have conceived. Yeah, man doesn't think sin is so terrible. And he thinks God is thinking the same way. What we just read here, God cannot stand lies. He cannot stand terrible things. His word tells us what these things are, so we may avoid them. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12, and verse 14, I'm going to have to get a new Bible, y'all. These pages are very thin. And these fingers are getting numb. It says, for God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. God does not like sin. He hates sin. And He's not going to overlook it. Man thinks one religion is as good as another and thinks God feels the same way. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 8, it says that there is only one gospel. And you probably all know what this says, but let's look at it to make sure. Don't want to not present it. Paul is preaching, he said, or writing this letter, he said, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. There is no other gospel. There's only one gospel. The gospel is that Jesus Christ died for our sins. That's good news for us. But if man thinks that there's another gospel to look at, he's very mistaken. And when you speak of one, some people will say, well, that sounds really closed-minded to me. But you know what? It's God's choice. God's the one that chose that. He had a chosen people that we've been studying about on Sunday morning in our Bible study. He had a chosen people. There was ways for others to become part of that family. But he had one family. Over in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, it speaks about oneness here also. It says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. That's verse 3. Verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. And that sounds kind of one-sided also. But I know in Matthew chapter 7, it talks about a hard road and a narrow gate. That's the way God has caused it to be. He wants His will to be done. And man is mistaken if he thinks that God is going to change His mind. Colossians chapter 1. Verse 17 through 19. It says, He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him. And here it's talking about one head. And that's Christ over the church. But we know that man thinks that somebody like Luther can be that head. Or somebody like Peter can be that head. Even Mary has been mentioned as part of the head of that body. There's only one head, and that's Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 16 talks about Jesus saying, I will build my church. He says, my church. He is the designer of it. It's not man. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. Paul's writing to the Corinthians. He said, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Cleo's house have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this, one of you says, I follow Paul, another I follow Apollos, another I follow Cephas, still another I follow Christ. He says in verse 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? Here again, Christ is not divided. God wants us to be in unity. He wants us to be following His Son, following His gospel, and that we not divided. And that's what man is about. He is dividing things, not God. You know, we studied in our Old Testament lesson this morning about when the people of Israel separated themselves, and they had 10 tribes that went to the north and 2 to the south. When they did that, they weakened themselves. They were not united anymore. First, the northern tribe was taken by Assyria, and then the southern tribe was taken by Babylon. They weakened themselves by not being united. And that's what happens when we do not look to the one gospel, not look to Christ as our head, not attend and follow and be a part of the church that Christ built, and try to be unified together in worship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And think about this after I read it. How some people can think that they can follow another way. And God is looking at things like it says in chapter 14 and verse 10. Chapter 14 and verse 33 of 1 Corinthians. It says, "For God is not a God of disorder, but of peace." And some versions would say, "God is not a God of confusion." And you know that that has to be true. God knows what He intends to do. He does not want men following separate ways. But He wants us to be in peace as in all the congregation of the Lord's people. Everywhere. We know that man cannot figure things out on his own. Jeremiah 10 verse 23 says, "It's not in man to direct his own steps." I've told you things that you already know. It's kind of like what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. He says, "So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made it clear to me. And I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will always be able to remember these things." We hear these things quite a bit. And evidently what Peter has been telling them, they have heard before. And he is repeating it again. He wants us to remember. That's why we come together to be with one another, to worship God, to hear His Word. We hear these things over and over again. Hopefully it will be ingrained into us that God means what He says. And He wants us to be saved. We read that a while ago. He wants none to be lost. He does love everyone. But He will not put up with us doing our own thing. Again, another lesson we've had in our study of the Old Testament. The people, His people, always murmuring, always wanting something to change, not following God. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 that they were examples to us and do not follow their ways. I wished I had a magic wand that I could say we're all going to do everything right. But we know that from time to time we do sin. We need to recognize when we do this. We need to repent of it when we do this. And we need to be together as much as we can for that strength, for that upbuilding, for that encouragement. Hopefully we've all been encouraged this morning and this evening. Hopefully that we have taken the things that Jack has said, and that we will realize that God's thoughts are not like ours. We must look to His thoughts and follow Him. There's always a possibility that somebody realizes that they have not been doing what God wants them to do. And we're told in the Scriptures that we are to pray for one another. That can be done today. Also, we recognize possibly there are those that have been putting off on obeying the gospel and becoming God's child through baptism. Scriptures are not silent on that, as some would say. We have many examples of people being baptized into Christ. Christ adds us to the church. We don't. Man don't. Christ does. You want to be a part of Christ. You really do. I think of those that have recently obeyed the gospel and are not attending now. I know that they have different circumstances. But it hurts so to know that they were so close and now are so far away. It's like Matthew chapter 13 talking about the sower sowing seed and what kind of ground it fell on. It's really sad. Some of them have not even come to the realization of what we talked about today, about the oneness, about God's plan. Hopefully, they will change their minds and come to an understanding. And we, as we pray for our brothers and sisters that are sick, we also should pray for our spiritually sick, that they will recover and once again be whole with the Lord. So I leave you with thinking about what Jack said this morning about displaying our talents, doing what we can. People will notice. They'll notice when we do good. They'll notice when we do bad. Always look for opportunities to teach God's Word. Remember the things that we keep going over and over again, so that we can be a light to the world. If we can help anyone at this time, please come as we stand and sing this song.
To me.